Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Opal by Helen Hart, narrated by Maya Beachwood and Tor Tom. Prologue. Aspen. Buck and I get married at Luke and Caitlin's beach house. I was surprised Buck agreed to it, but he and Luke seem to have finally come to an understanding between them. Caitlin and I are ecstatic about it. Because we're besties, the four of us will be spending a lot of time together. Caitlin is, of course, my maid of honor, and Buck's sister Emily is my bridesmaid. Coming back to this house couldn't have been easy for her, but she did it for Buck and for me. Buck has two best men, his brother Johnny and his fellow SEAL, Leif Ramsey, also known as Phoenix. I'm dancing with Phoenix later. He's tall and muscular, like Buck. But there the similarities end. Leif is blonde and blue-eyed, with light skin. "Thank you for being here," I tell him. "For Buck. It means everything to him."
"I'll always be here for Buck," Leif says. "We're brothers."
His phone buzzes.
"Do you mind?"
"Of course not." He leads me off the dance floor and looks at his phone.
Oh, shit.
"Is anything the matter?"
"I need to talk to Buck."
"Leif, this is our wedding day. Please."
"I know, Aspen, and I'm sorry."
Buck is on the dance floor with his sister. Emily and Luke seem to have made their peace as well, and for that I'm grateful. Emily is radiant. She looks like Buck in female form, and she seems ecstatic with her significant other, Scotty, a half-Hawaiian surfer boy who's now studying to be a licensed psychologist. A moment later, Buck is leaving the dance floor with Leif. They go inside the house. I wait. And I wait. Only a few minutes have passed, but I can't take it any longer. I head into the house to find them. They're deep in conversation when...
"Aspen, baby."
"Exactly what's going on?"
"I'm so sorry," Buck says. "But I need to go back to New York."
"All right. In 2 weeks, after our trip to the Virgin Islands."
"I promise you, baby, we will have the honeymoon of the century. But we have to put it off a little while."
The spoiled little girl inside me wants to stomp and hold my breath, but I don't. This is Buck, the man who loves me. And he wouldn't make me postpone my honeymoon unless it was very important. He is who he is. He's Buck. He saves people. He wouldn't be the man I love if he didn't do that. Why? What is it?
It's another one of the women from the island.
Buck shakes his head.
Opal. She's in trouble.
I swallow. Kelly? Kelly was different. She used to get jealous when someone was chosen over her. None of us understood her. Of course, none of us tried to understand anything while we were there. We were simply trying to keep our own heads above water.
Yeah, Phoenix says. A threat has been made against her. By another woman from the island.
1. Leif. Cheating Buck and Aspen out of their honeymoon wasn't on my to-do list. But the Wolf family pays us big money to take care of these women and keep them safe. They even sent their private jet to bring us back from L.A. to New York. Aspen insisted on coming with us. And even though Buck and I both tried to talk her out of it, that woman has a mind of her own. Buck is worried for her safety, and so am I. But from what I can tell, the woman can take care of herself. She's tall, strong, athletic, gorgeous with dark hair and eyes. She and Buck will make beautiful kids. Damn. Kids. I can't believe Buck is married. That last tour of duty fucked both of us up so bad, I wasn't sure either of us would be able to have a decent relationship. But Buck defied the odds. He and Aspen are perfect together. As for me, I'm not looking. I don't think I'll ever look. Definitely too fucked up. Torture and violation. We're prepared for it during training. But can you ever be truly prepared? No. You can't. Buck and I are meeting Reed and Rock Wolf at their office this morning. And of course, Aspen is tagging along. Once we get through security in the Wolf building, we take the elevator to the main office and check in with the receptionist. The Wolves are expecting you, the receptionist says with a smile. Have a seat, and someone will come get you soon. I plunk my ass down on a comfortable couch in the reception area. Buck and Aspen sit across from me on another couch, Aspen twiddling her thumbs. Buck and I both rise when Reed Wolf, dressed in his signature navy blue tailored suit, walks out to greet us. Fatherhood suits him. He looks more at ease these days. When I first met Reed, he was a stiff businessman who had no time for anything but work, unless it was a quick fuck with his woman du jour. Now he's a devoted family man, married to one of his father's victims and a father himself to an adorable infant girl. Buck, leave. Reed shakes our hands, and then his gaze falls on Aspen. Miss Davis, I'm glad you came along. You may be able to offer some insight. Aspen shakes Reed's hand. It's Mrs. Moreno now. She smiles. But Aspen is fine. And that's why I'm here. I want to help. I know we're asking a lot of you and your new husband, postponing your honeymoon for a little while. But we think this might be serious. He nods to the receptionist. I don't want to be disturbed during this meeting. Not at all. Yes, Mr. Wolf. Then to us. Follow me. Buck, Aspen, and I follow Reed through the winding hallways to one of the conference rooms. I've been in this particular room many times, but it always leaves me in awe. It's huge, of course, with a solid cherry table that seats up to 20. The chairs are cushioned with blue and gold brocade, but the most iconic part of the room are its walls. They're home to a triptych of paintings by Roy Wolf. And whenever I look at them, abstract in blues, golds, grays, and whites, I see something different. Today I see the ocean. But perhaps that's because I was just in L.A. at a house on the beach for Buck's wedding. When we enter, Rock, Reed's oldest brother and chief executive of Wolf Enterprises, stands. He looks a little rougher than Reed, who always looks refined. But there's no mistaking the resemblance between them. Only their eyes are different. Reed's are blue and Rock's are green, but they both have the same determination in their gazes. You all know my brother Rock? Rock shakes hands all around.
Good to see you. Thank you for coming. My wife Lacey will be here in a minute.
He gazes at the doorway.
Here she is now.
Lacey Wolf is blonde and blue-eyed, and she's just starting to show a baby bump. Mrs. Wolf, I say, nice to see you again. And congratulations.
Thank you, Leif. And please call me Lacey.
You know my friend Buck Moreno, and this is his wife Aspen. A smile spreads across Aspen's face when I say the word wife. Lacey shakes both their hands and holds on to Aspen's a bit longer.
I just want to tell you that you're amazing, and thank you for coming. We all feel so terrible about ruining your honeymoon.
Aspen attempts a smile.
Buck and I will have a honeymoon. I just feel so fortunate that, after all I've been through, I found such an amazing life for myself. So I want to help Kelly. All of you ladies are amazing,
Lacey says.
Your strength and fortitude humble me. That's kind of you,
Aspen says.
But your family made sure we got the best mental health treatment on the island. Yes, Riley and Matt have done an incredible job with the treatment center. I'm so glad it was helpful to you and the others.
Most of the others, anyway,
Reed says.
Please, have a seat. All of you.
So what's the story? I ask. Which woman has been making threats against Kelly?
2. Kelly.
I won't rest until I see you back on that island. I shiver as I read the latest text message. Haven't I been through enough? I'm finally learning to accept my life, my past, work through not only my time on the island, but my childhood as well. The therapist hired by the Wolf family, Macy, has been great. I have to commend the patience she has with me. I'm not an easy person to deal with. I never knew that until recently, but now I'm beginning to see why I do some of the things I do. Why I was the way I was on the island. Why I am the way I am now. And how to go about making the changes that I want, need, to make in my life. But someone doesn't want that. And I don't understand why. Because she has the same past that I have. Her name is Brindley. Brindley McGregor. But her name on the island was Smokey. Short for Smokey Quartz, because of her grayish eyes. Her eyes aren't gray so much as bluish gray, but she was one of the last women to come to the island before it was shut down, and maybe they were running out of gemstone names. I was known as Opal, and honestly, I'm not sure why. My hair is auburn and my eyes are dark blue. Opal seems more of a light blue name, but who knows? I never stopped to think about why they named me Opal. I didn't care. I just accepted my fate. I accepted it because I figured it was all I deserved. After all, my childhood was less than adequate. I laugh out loud at my own thought. Less than adequate? What a fucking euphemism. As a rule, I hate euphemisms. But why not be blunt? Why not be offensive? Life is blunt and offensive sometimes, more often than not, in my opinion. My childhood sucked. I was beaten, locked in closets, told what a piece of shit I was on the daily. Rarely did I get enough to eat. Life on the island? It sucked, too. But at least I was fed. They kept us fed well, because we needed to be strong. We needed to be worthy prey. That's what those men paid for. They wanted to hunt us like animals. It was a game to them. Once they caught us, they could feel like big, strong, masculine guys because they had captured worthy prey. Most of the women there didn't understand me. Hell, why should they? They all came from great backgrounds, decent childhoods, maybe not perfect childhoods. But were they beaten? Starved for days on end? Locked in closets? Forced to... I shake my head, refusing to let the words dig into my mind. I'm trying to work through this stuff, deal with it. But there are still things I can't think about. I live in the subsidized housing that the Wolf family put together for us, and I listen, during group therapy, to the other women talk. Lily is here, Tiger Eye from the island, and Caitlin and Aspen have already left. But some new women have arrived. Francine, known as Peridot, Marianne, known as Pearl, and of course, Brindley. Smokey herself. I look at the words on the text again. I don't know Smokey's background. She only arrived at the building a week ago, but she started texting me right away. Right when I was breaking through, making progress, feeling that maybe I didn't deserve to be taken to that island. Maybe I didn't deserve the horrible abuse I suffered as a child. Maybe I'm better than all of that. Then here comes Brindley, telling me I'm not. I stuff my phone into my small purse and leave my apartment. I'm going over to the office building to talk to Reed and Rock Wolf. I want to put an end to this, once and for all.
3. Leaf. The door to the conference room crashes open.
Ma'am, please.
A young woman with reddish-brown hair pulled back in a high ponytail crashes into the room. She's wearing baggy jeans cinched at the waist, with a leather belt and a tight t-shirt that shows a sliver of her belly. Rock rises to his feet.
Danielle, what the hell is going on?
I'm sorry, Mr. Wolf. I tried to stop her. I've alerted security.
Reed rises, shakes his head.
It's all right.
Buck, Leaf, Aspen. This is Kelly Taylor. A look of recognition crosses Aspen's fine features.
Hi, Kelly. Kelly clears her throat.
Garnett. Sorry, I mean Aspen. I hear congratulations are in order. Thank you.
The two women are speaking in a weird robotic tone. I get the feeling they don't like each other. Not at all. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me, given they were in the same boat on the island.
Miss Taylor, Rock says, what can we do for you?
Kelly pulls the phone out of her purse and shoves it in Rock's face.
I got another one. From Brinley.
Brinley? Aspen asks.
Smokey from the island. Smokey Quartz.
Kelly's voice is tinny.
Right.
Aspen nods.
She wasn't there for very long, was she? About 6 months before we were rescued.
Kelly says. Rock takes the phone from Kelly and studies it.
And you're sure these texts are coming from her?
She all but admitted as much.
This isn't the phone number we have registered for her.
Kelly grabs the phone out of Rock's hand and glares at the screen.
So? She bought her own phone.
This is a new number, Rock says. We'll trace it. But I'm pretty sure we'll find the same thing. That it's untraceable. From a burner.
Where would she be getting burners?
Aspen asks.
Anywhere, I say. The question is, where is she getting the money for the burners?
We give the ladies a pretty nice allowance, Reed says. It's the least we can do.
Who are these guys?
Kelly glares at Buck and me. But man, even with the glare, she's got to be one of the most beautiful women I've ever laid eyes on. I've always been a sucker for a redhead, and her hair is a nice auburn, just red enough to make my dick react. Plus, she's got a tight-ass body. Just that little sliver of belly shows me how tight and muscled she is. I love women who are in shape. I met a lot of them in the armed forces, and that's what I go for. Same for Buck, which is clearly why he went for Aspen. I can't help but think about why Kelly and Aspen are in shape, though. They were... Ugh. I still can't go there. And damn, they are beautiful. Especially Kelly Taylor. A spitfire, too. A personality that goes with that red hair. I'm not Buck, though. I'm not going to fall for a woman with so much baggage. I don't even like to think about what they went through on that island. Because then I have to think about what Buck and I have been through. How he and I were the only ones who came home from the last tour. He and I voluntarily joined the Navy, though. Kelly, Aspen. They were forced to do the unthinkable.
Buck Moreno and Leif Ramsey.
Reed replies to Kelly.
Sorry. I should have made that clear when I introduced them to you. They're part of our security team. And they're here to help us investigate these threats that are being made against you. You brought in the brawn to investigate?
Kelly scoffs.
Just bring Brinley in here. Force her to tell you she's doing this, and then ask her why.
We don't have any proof that it's Brinley, Rock says.
You have me. I've told you it's her. She admitted it.
I rise then, reach my hand out to Kelly.
It's good to meet you.
She takes my hand and shakes it hard.
Yeah. So what are you going to do about this?
Damn. This one's got a mean streak for sure. I bet she's a fucking tigress in the sack. Why am I even thinking about that? I don't want a woman with all this baggage. Plus, she's rude, mean, nasty. We're here to get to the bottom of it. Buck and I, along with Aspen, will figure it out.
Do you feel like your life is in danger?
Buck asks.
I don't know. The building ran as security up the yin-yang, but sometimes...
Sometimes what? I prompt.
She's in the same building I am, as you know. Brinley. Sometimes in the middle of the night I hear voices. When I get up, I can distinctly hear someone fidgeting with my doorknob. Who else could it be? No one else has access to the building, except the people who live here and security.
We have top-notch security, Reed says.
All the guys are vetted, and then vetted again.
So it's got to be one of the women,
Kelly says.
It's not Lily. She's afraid of her own shadow. And Francine and Marianne keep to themselves. It has to be Brindley.
How did she admit to you that she was sending the text? I ask.
I got in her face. I accused her. And she didn't deny it.
Buck suppresses a chuckle. That's hardly an admission, Miss Taylor.
You don't know the bitch.
Aspen rises then.
I know her. I remember her just like I remember you. What I recall is... Did I ask you what you recall?
Kelly advances toward Aspen.
I know you hated me on that island. I know you all hated me. I didn't hate you, Kelly.
Aspen smiles with her lips, but it doesn't reach her eyes. It's a look of pity.
I didn't hate anyone. I was trying to survive just like you were. You were all jealous of me. That's not how I remember it. Just how do you remember it, then?
Kelly demands, her arms across her chest. Aspen pauses a moment, and I can almost feel her counting to 10. She clearly doesn't want to engage with Kelly, but she's getting pissed. Who can blame her?
I've already told Buck and Leaf,
Aspen finally says.
How you... were the jealous one. You didn't like it when someone got chosen over you.
Kelly scoffs.
In what universe does that make any sense? Believe me, Aspen says. That's what we all thought.
Kelly narrows her eyes, and her facial muscles tense further.
Go to hell, Garnet.
Aspen's eyes widen, but she doesn't respond. It's clear she considers reference to their island names a hit below the belt. I admire her ability to ignore Kelly's obvious desire to pick a fight.
Wait just a minute, Rock says.
My brother and I are very sorry for what you went through on that island, Miss Taylor. We would erase it from all of you if we could. And we're doing our damnedest to make sure you all get the treatment you need and deserve. But speaking that way to another survivor? To anyone, really. Isn't the way to go about that. If you want to be a part of this meeting, then sit down. You're the victim here, so your input is necessary. But leave the attitude outside. Kelly draws in a breath, and for a moment, I think she's going to shout Rock down. But Rock Wolf is nothing if not an imposing presence. He still has the air of a rebel about him. Kelly draws in a breath.
All right.
She heads to an empty seat and sits her ass down. Her very nice ass.
All right, Reed says. Let's continue with the meeting.
4. Kelly. I've regressed. It's clear as day. I was getting somewhere with therapy. But now? I'm back to accusing people, treating people badly, blaming everyone else for the circumstances of my life. It's funny. I see it unfolding right before me, like a movie on the screen at the cinema. Regression. Back to the old Kelly. Back to Opal. But I don't want to be Opal anymore. And I don't want to be Kelly either. Kelly had to learn to fend for herself, to scrape moldy food from the bottoms of containers she found in the trash to ease the ache of hunger. I know I shouldn't be acting this way. The whole island situation was Derek Wolf's doing, not his children's. These people are here to help me. Even Aspen is here to help me. Why do I act this way? I need to see Macy. But before then, I need to sit through this meeting and see what they can do for me. So I listen, but only with one ear. Because images emerge in my brain, and though I try to wipe them away, I'm not that strong yet. The closet is dark. I don't know how long I've been in here, and my tummy is growling for food. I'm thirsty, too, and my mouth is dry. My throat is hurting from the screaming and the crying. I was a bad girl, and what do bad girls get? They get locked in the dark closet after they get spanked. My butt hurts from the spanking, but not like it used to. I'm older now,
I just turned 10, and Mama even got me a birthday cake. She put 10 candles on it, lit them, and sang happy birthday to me. Before she knocked me on the back of my head, pulled me into her lap, spanked me, and then shoved me into the closet. I sigh in relief when the door opens and I shield my eyes against the light. Come on out now, sweetheart. Mama's voice is soft and kind. This is my mama. Sweet as syrup in one minute, violent and destructive the next. She never leaves any marks on me that can be seen, only where my clothes cover them, or on the top of the head where they're camouflaged by my orange hair. The orange hair I hate. The orange hair that the kids make fun of. Come here, sweetheart. I run into her arms just like I always do, because I love my mama, and I know my mama loves me. She tells me so every day, between beatings and locking me in the closet. I'm so sorry, sweetheart, but you know you have to be a good girl. You know Mama has to punish you when you're bad. I nod and choke out a sob against her breast. I know better than to ask what I did. That will only set her off again. But I don't know what I did. I never know what I do. The closet she locks me in is in the spare room. Not my own closet, where at least I'd have the comfort of my clothes. Just an empty space with wood floor and walls. I follow her out to the kitchen, where a lone gift sits on the table, wrapped in plain red paper. When I look closer, I see that it's not plain. There's a slightly darker red snowflake pattern on it. It's Christmas wrap. But it was nice of Mama to go to the effort. We don't have a lot of money, so I'm lucky I'm getting a present at all. I don't dare touch it, though. I've learned to never make assumptions where Mama is concerned. Well, she says, go ahead. I move toward the gift, but I still don't touch it. Open your present, Kelly. It's your birthday, after all. I grab the present off the table and rip it open. It's a cardboard shoebox. New shoes, maybe? I remove the lid. I gasp out loud. Inside the shoebox is my volleyball. It's been deflated. Mama smiles. Do you like it? I don't understand, I say. Why did you take all the air out of my volleyball? I didn't just let the air out, Mama says. I poked holes in it so you can't use it anymore. Tears well in my eyes. You've been spending too much time playing volleyball after school, Mama continues. I need you home. Things don't get done around here if you're not here to do them. I gulp back the tears. I stopped crying over Mama's cruelty long ago, but this is beyond callous even for her. But I love playing with the other girls after school. Mama's face twists into a snarl. Kelly, I went to all the trouble to get you a gift that will help you be a better person, a better daughter. You might show a bit more appreciation. Appreciation? Sadness sweeps through me. I can't cry. I won't cry. Perhaps she's right. Maybe I'm being selfish. I suppose I don't need my own ball. All the other girls have their own, and we only need one ball to play. But I saved up money, collected box tops, and I went around to all the neighbors asking if they needed any chores done. I made a few bucks that way. I gulp again. If I start crying, it may set her off, and I'll end up back in the closet. So I simply set the box down on the table and look up at my mother. Thank you for the present, Mama. It was very thoughtful of you. You're very welcome, sweetheart. Happy birthday.
5. Leaf. Buck and Aspen are staying in a suite at a posh hotel. Me? I'm moving into one of the furnished apartments in the building that houses Derek Wolfe's victims.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?